Hey everyone, just like we've been doing these last few weeks, on Fridays we're going to be going through a psalm each Friday. And so today we're going to be reading from Psalm chapter 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. So this is a very beautiful psalm that David wrote during a time of great distress. To give some background, after having ruled as king of Israel for many years, David is now on the run, and tragically, it's because his son, Absalom, is trying to kill David and take over the throne. And so you can imagine the great distress that David must have felt in this time, and he isn't actually shy about starting off in that place of distress. Verses 1 to 2 give us a picture of what David's feeling. He's feeling surrounded on all sides, attacked, and maybe most difficult of all, he actually might be questioning whether God can really save him. My guess is that most of us don't have any human foes or enemies, but I think all of us have felt this type of thing before in our lives in the form of Satan, the greatest enemy. Verse 2 sounds a lot like something Satan might say. There is no salvation for him in God. I don't know about all of you, but I've been in situations like this more than I'd like to admit. In particular, in difficult or stressful times, I have to say that I've heard or felt the lies of the enemy creeping into my mind. It could be thoughts like, God won't save you, or he can't do that. He's not here for you. You're all alone. What I love about this psalm is that David shows us an amazing example of how to combat these sorts of lies of the enemy in these times. Again, verses 1 and 2 are an admission of weakness and a recognition of the difficult situation that he's in. But then in verse 3, David begins to change course here, and he starts by speaking truth over himself. He says, "But despite all of this, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Now, it's impossible for us to know if David actually fully 100% believed those words in that moment. But regardless of whether he did or not, he still chose to declare the truth. He acknowledges who God is. God is a shield. He says, God is my glory and the lifter of my head. He's sustaining these facts about who God is, that God is protector, that he is my source of all things. He is my comforter in times of need. He begins to declare this. Maybe he didn't believe it completely maybe he didn't always feel it fully in that moment, but he's declaring these truths over his life, over this situation. And at this point, we get this beautiful picture of what happens when we begin to declare truth over our lives. What we see here is that David begins to feel a peace and a comfort. In verse 5, it says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. In some ways, this might not seem like a big deal, but I really think it is. How many of us have been through situations when we're anxious or worried, we have a hard time sleeping? Maybe we can't fall asleep, or we keep waking up in the middle of the night. That's often because we're afraid of what might happen, or we have all these things on our mind, the things we need to tend to. We're not at peace. We're feeling anxious, worried, maybe these metaphorical enemies, we feel them around us. On the contrast that though, when we are at peace, when we feel secure, when we trust in the Lord, then we're able to rest even when we're surrounded by our enemies. David writes, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. He's able to lay down, sleep, and then wake up the next day because God sustains him. This declaration of truth in verse 3 and 4 has led David to really remember who God is, to the point where he's able to confidently assert that he will not be afraid, that he is at peace. And at the end of it all, David ends the psalm in a way that contrasts how it began. You know, initially he was afraid, surrounded, he felt like, by all of his enemies. But then in verse 7, he recognizes that God is the one fighting for him, and he calls upon the Lord to fight his battle, to save him. And in verse 8, I love this here. In verse 8, it's such a contrast to the beginning, because at the very beginning of the psalm, he hears this lie that there is no salvation for him in God. But then in verse 8, at the very end of the psalm, David concludes by saying, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." That's just amazing. In the course of these verses, David is able to go from this fearful state, hearing these lies, to declaring truth and recognizing that there is salvation in the Lord. As I said earlier, we're all going to go through adversity, and there will be times when the enemy will want to take advantage of that and begin to try to feed us these kinds of lies. But David shows us this example of how to combat the lies of the enemy. Again, we're to declare the truth of who God is, to remember what he has done for us in the past, and be reminded that we can trust him now and in the future. And maybe you won't necessarily feel the weight of these truths right away from the start. Again, we don't know if David really fully felt that initially. But he allowed these words to sink in. And we can do the same, allowing these words to sink in, allowing these declarations to wash over us, and allowing them to change not only just our perspective, but really change our hearts, and to learn to trust in the Lord more. And of course, one suggestion I just want to give is that in order for us to do this well, it's important for us to regularly spend time with God. We won't know these truths during the bad times if we don't know them during the good times. And so I want to encourage all of us, and in some ways I'm speaking to the choir, if you're listening to this Devo right now, but make it a regular practice of being in God's Word and praying, spending time with Him, and reflecting on His character and the goodness in your life. So that when the difficult times do come, we can remember His truths, declare them over us, and combat the lies that the enemy may try to feed us. And so with that, let me just close us out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to start off by declaring your goodness, that there is salvation in you, that in you that, Lord, we have nothing to fear, that you are our comforter, you are our healer, you are our strength in times of weakness, and you are so much more. And so we thank you for that, God. Lord, I don't know if anybody listening today is feeling downcast, feeling surrounded, feeling just the weight of sorrow or burden or maybe stress or anxiety. Father, I just want to pray that you would remind us again of who you are. And that, God, that you, Lord, are with us. You care for us. You are working, Lord, in our lives. And so, God, I pray that these truths would resound, that they would be much louder than the lies of the world, of the enemy. That, God, that we wouldn't allow these lies to dictate and determine how we live, that we would instead allow your truth to lead us, to shape us, and to make us, Lord, bold and confident in you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for the example given to us here in this psalm. We thank you most of all that you're with us, God. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.